We are studying through Revelation. We're in chapter 13. We got all the way through verse 4 the last time we got together. You met the man. The whole world is trying to figure out who this guy is. Some of them think he's a good guy. Some of them think he's a bad guy. Some of them think he's a girl. But they're all trying to find out who this guy is. Christians are kind of funny critters. You know, Satan and his man we looked at in the first 4 verses. The Antichrist, the beast. They are both to be worshipped by the people on the earth. That always impresses me, amazes me, that the people of this earth would worship a man. When you can talk to many, many of them out there who will tell you, I don't believe in God. I am an atheist. The Greek a before the word means without. Atheist, without God. They'll say, I'm an atheist. And you go, man, you know, so you don't believe in God? No. You know, someday you're going to worship a man. And you're crazy. Why would I worship a man if I don't even believe in a God? Because everybody that's ever been created, every human, will worship something. Because every human knows something outside of them is bigger than they are and smarter. And you can see that by any science fiction book or movie ever made. Grade B, grade C, whatever. Notice how space beings are ugly. Because we think we got it together. We're beautiful. Something out there ain't. Notice that about us? But have you noticed War of the Worlds? Just go back. The Blob. Whatever you like to choose. Notice how it seems to always be bigger than us. More advanced than us. Oh, we'll win out in the long run. At least that's the way we write the ending. Bible says something different. But notice that about mankind. They worship something out there. And you too, we will worship something. It'll be the Lord or it will be the devil, but you will worship one of them. Even if you say I'm an atheist, even if you say I'm an agnostic, whatever you say you are, you right now worship something and will worship something. And we're going to go to verse 5. Well, let me read you verse 4. Verse 4 says in Revelation 13, they worshipped the dragon. Who's the dragon? That would be the devil. You can find that later on in the chapter. You saw that earlier on in chapter 12. That's where that was. They worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, which would be the Antichrist. They worshipped the beast, saying this, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? What a guy. Who could stand against him? And the answer to that, those are rhetorical questions. The answer to that is understood. Nobody. Nobody's like this Antichrist. Nobody can make war with him. And you see, as you continue to disarm every nation, when this Antichrist does come to power, who will make war with him? Well, not America. They won't have the equipment. Not most of the countries won't. Now there are going to be some little radicals from the Far East who are starting to, you know, China's awake now and going to become some trouble later on, you can see. We all see that's coming. Verse 5 says, there was given unto him, the beast, this Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue for 3.5 years. Well, the Bible says literally 42 months. If you just do your math, then you've got 3.5 years. You see, 70 years, or 70, let me say it just like we're told, 77s, 70 weeks of years are determined upon the Jewish people and the Jewish holy city. Who are the Jewish people? Not the lost tribes in Ohio. The people were not these white supremacists over in Montana or in Idaho. No, the Jewish people are the Jewish people. Where's the holy city? Houston. No. Nice place, though. I've seen it. Where is the holy city? Everybody knows it's San Francisco. No. You see, the holy city is Jerusalem. Always has been. Will be until it doesn't exist anymore. That's the city where God says, I've placed my name there. That's my town. Jerusalem is my kind of town, God says. And you see, 70 weeks of years. Now, I don't want to go long on this because we'll do this in Daniel, but a week of days is how many days? Say it out loud. A week of months would be 7 months. A week of years would be 7 years. See how easy this is to understand? 69 of those weeks have been completed. At the end of the 69th, Messiah was crucified and died on the cross. And he ascended back to the Father. Well, there are 69 weeks that are done. There's a 70th week that needs to be completed. But there is a space, we have seen, between the 69th and the 70th week. How long is that space? Nobody knows. We call it the church age. If you like that term, I like the age of grace. There is a time when God opens his arms wide, the Father in heaven, and says, ollie, ollie, oxen free. Well, not quite that way. That was Hebrew for everybody come out and come home. I just made that up. That probably means the cattle are dying. But what I want it to mean is, everybody, you can, all right, it's paid for, a free gift, everybody come home. You guys need to cheer up. You're so serious. And you live in that time. I don't know what you're waiting for. But, you know, my dad used to say to us kids, what are you waiting for, a personal invitation? We got one. Jesus said, come to me, every one of you that labors and is heavy laden, I will give you rest. You come to me. Come to the waters and purchase without money living water. Freely, I'll give it to you. You come, he said. Some people will, some people won't. Here's a man. And there was given to him a mouth, speaking great things. He will be recognized immediately when the great tribulation begins. That 70th week, that last week of years, which will be 7 years, it hasn't started yet. The period of grace is still going. But there's coming a time when Jesus will take his bride. The door will be closed. No more can enter the church. Can people be saved after that? Yes, you will see many saved during the 70th week, during this last great tribulation, the seven years. Many will be saved, but they will not be a part of the church. They will not be a part of the bride. That privilege goes to you and to you alone. No one before the day of Pentecost, and no one after the final one comes in. The Holy Spirit is now choosing out a bride. The Father's choosing out a bride for his Son. That is a privilege and an honor that has been given to you freely. But you see, for 7 years, once the tribulation begins, the white horse, the rider on the white horse, the first seal is open. That rider on the white horse, I am convinced, is not Jesus. It is the Antichrist himself. He is a fake Messiah. He's a false Christ. And he comes on the scene and people listen to him. And for 3.5 years, it's kind of this fakeish kind of peace. He works his way to the top where he literally rules the world. And he's, at that point, Satan possessed. And the Bible says, there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given to him to continue 42 months. Once he rises to the top and is completely in control, he'll go a full 3.5 years before he's shut down by the Lord himself. A mouth speaking great things. And literally, a mouth speaking big things. What does that mean in our language? You ever talk to someone who speaks big things? You have, you know. What we call it is boasting. Yeah, I caught a fish that was this big. Speaking big things. He's going to boast. He's going to brag. We're going to give you peace. We're going to give you hope. I'm going to take care of you. He's going to speak some big things. And not only will he speak big things, but also speaking slander and reproaches against God himself. Blasphemy. For 3.5 years. And there were given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. So he will speak slander directly against God. You know, that means he knows God is out there. So he's going to be a believer in God. He's not going to be a Christian. He's not going to be born again. But he's going to be a believer in God. Now, I can prove to you that that's scriptural. You can go through the New Testament and you can find that the demons believe in God. The demons believe there is a God. And so when I talk with people and I say, are you a Christian? And they go, yes, I believe in God. And I tell them, well, the demons do that much. Demons are going to be in the lake of fire suffering for eternity. You believe in God? Great. That's nothing. The demons believe and go a step further. They at least shake, the Bible says. They tremble. The demons believe in God and they tremble. What do you do? You say, I believe in God. So what? What does it make you do? Anything? It ought to, right? If it's real faith. Well, he's going to speak, open his mouth and blaspheme against God. To blaspheme God's name, that means not only will he slander the Lord himself, but he will also speak in vain, use the name of the Lord in vain. And he will blaspheme his tabernacle. He's literally going to blaspheme and slander heaven, where God's throne is. Now, that's an interesting character that's going to be coming on the scene, because he knows God's there and he knows God lives in a real place, heaven. And he's going to slander them that dwell in heaven. That's why God has given you this experience with each other. You know how Christians talk behind Christians' backs? And slam each other and slander each other. Now you're used to it. When you get to heaven, you go, nah, ain't nothing. I experienced that 50 years down there. The Antichrist will slander those that are in heaven. Who will be in heaven? The Old Testament saints. They're there now. And like I've said to you before, you know, most of the body of Christ is already there. I know we don't think that, but most of the body of Christ is in heaven already. They're just waiting for us. For them to be complete. And there are not going to be many more, I think. It's coming soon. So they're going to slander those that are in heaven. By then the church will have been raptured, I believe in Revelation chapter 4. So the church, the bride, he'll talk bad about the bride of Christ as well. Slander her, him, the it. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. Okay. Here's where people get confused. Who are the saints? Well, you say, well, we are. Well, true. True, we are. But when the church is raptured, see, there are Old Testament saints and there are New Testament saints. That's us. But when the church gets raptured, there will be others who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They will not be part of the church. They will not be part of the bride. But they will still be saints because they belong to the Lord. That's who he's going to make war with. He's not gonna leave this earth somehow, figure, get a rocket ship and find where heaven is, shoot himself up there and start fighting in heaven. No. Remember, Satan is thrown out and can't get back in. So the Antichrist won't be going there either. So he's gonna make war with the saints, and those saints are the ones that belong to the Lord that are on the earth during that time period we call the Great Tribulation. He makes war with the saints, and look, it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He's going to win. He's going to win. He's going to put to death, it looks like, literally millions upon millions of Christians during that time period. and is going to look like to the rest of the world that he's the good guy. And these people he's putting to death, we're finally getting rid of this curse. We're finally getting rid. And the longer you look around and notice something, you have become the enemy to the world. Well, you always were, but you didn't notice it. But now the world is out loud saying it to you. You are the ones that are not tolerant. Isn't that the word we're supposed to use now? Tolerance. We'll tolerate anything except you. Notice how tolerant they are. Yeah, you have to be tolerant of the gays. You have to, or whatever that means. You have to be tolerant of this kind of people. You have to be tolerant of those. And just to expect, here's a guy that worships a hummingbird. You have to be tolerant of that. Don't tell him the truth. There's no need to proselytize. You know, right now in Israel, it has gotten through a part of their, it's the Knesset. I call it their Congress. It's already gotten through part of their Congress. And the law is that it will become completely illegal to proselytize and they will begin to arrest Christians. Because that's what Christians do. They start to share their faith. So now that law is halfway through. We'll see what happens. That just went through beginning or in the end of last week. It's going to be tough over there for Calvary Chapel. Some in the Bible college that's there, and many of the Christians who are there wanting to share, it's going to get a little bit ugly. A friend of mine is a doctor, an MD, and he got a little confused way back in the early 80s and took a vow of a Nazarite, dropped his practice, went over to Israel, just left his wife and kids and went over to Israel and decided he was going to witness till the Lord came back. So he's been in jail a few times because you can't do that. It's interesting. Now they're talking about possibly arresting many Christians. Well, here the Antichrist is given to him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given. Okay, here's where your Bible needs to be underlined. Ready? And power was given him over all kindreds. The all continues, all tongues. And all nations. All kindreds, tongues, and nations. All right, well, in our language, what would that include? It would include all. You see, all in the Greek means, see, all. All right, mark on the side of your Bible, if you're one of those Bible marker guys or girls, mark one world government. Solid proof right there in that verse. Even though I heard it teach, well, there really won't be a one world government. It'll be like a partial thing and it won't. No, for a bit, it's going to be the whole world. Yes, the Far East is going to crack up and there will be some troubles and there's going to be some. But you'll see that at first now, everybody's going to wonder after this guy. They're going to be amazed. You have here proof in Revelation chapter 13 that we will see a one world government. Maybe not you and I will see it. We get raptured out of here. But do you know, is the world working toward it or not? I mean, if you say no, I don't know where you live. Yeah, the world's working toward it. It will be. It's a guarantee. Will it hold together? No. It's if you read the book of Daniel and you see the visions and the dreams, it's iron mixed with clay. And iron and clay won't hold solidly together. But they're going to be together for a bit. And the Antichrist will be over him. And Satan is going to get all what he's always wanted. He wants to be worshipped and he will be worshipped. All of mankind who haven't accepted the Lord will worship Satan and the beast. And here is your text proof, other places too, for a one world government. That's where we're headed. Whether the UN runs it, whether the European community runs it, whether Texas takes it over, or whether you see Prince Ferdinand over there, and I mean, whoever. You pick your whatever you like, and back it up with whatever scripture you like. I just know that's what's coming. Because the Bible says so. Notice, power was given over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Worldwide power given to the Antichrist. Who gives it to him? You've already been told earlier verses. Who gave it to him? Let's see. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power to the beast. You see, this power is coming directly from Satan. Because, see, the kingdoms of the world are his to give. Remember, he wanted to give them to Jesus. Jesus wasn't interested. Jesus said, I'm going to do it my Father's way. And I don't mean to say it like this, but the truth is, there's the Father's way and there's the easy way. And I don't mean to make that sound like you just heard it. It's not that serving God is such a hassle and so hard, but the truth is, haven't you noticed that our tendency, our fallen nature tendency, is to do things the easy way, to take the smoothest path, to take the most clear and easy, you know, the shortest distance between two places or two points or two cities or whatever is just a simple straight line as the bird flies. And that's always the way we want to get there. Let's just go the easy way. And so the devil goes, you know, you don't like that girl? Here's the easy way to him. Dump her. Dump her. Get another one. Get a younger version. One that can cook. You don't like that guy? Get rid of him. That's easy. That's the easy way. You know, then make it easy. You can sign a piece of paper and it's called no fault. It's nobody's fault. Just irreconcilable differences. He's stupid. Just write that down. Or there you go. And the easy way to do everything. Let's just take the easy way out. You notice how we're built that way. The Bible says, if your brother sins against you, go to them. What do? I'm not going to go to him. That'd be a hassle. I'll pray about it. I'll just ask God to touch his heart. I'm not about to do what God says. That's the easy way. It's just to close your eyes and they won't see you. They can't. You can't see me. That's the easy way to handle it all. Let's just do the easy way. Well, wait a minute. Jesus said no. Satan said, you worship me, I'll give you all this. Jesus said, no. Get behind me. You worship God and him alone. I'm going God's way. And God's way is harder. Fine. I'm going the way my Father says. Well, we read this. Was given to him to make war with the saints, verse 7, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. All that dwell on the earth shall worship him. But wait a minute. Before I go on, let me give you a scripture right down. Daniel 7:23. Power over all kindreds. You're talking about your one world government. Daniel 7:23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, shall tread it down, and shall break it in pieces. You see, I want to make clear to you, it's the whole earth, not just little parts here and there. Okay, now, and all that dwell on the earth, verse 8, shall worship him. Who's him? Yeah, the beast, the Antichrist, this really popular dude. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If your name is not written in the book of life, you will worship the beast. All right, write down next to that verse, clearly you have been shown a one world religion. And the whole world will worship the beast, those that are not born again, those that have not given their hearts to the Lord. So you've got a one world religion going on. So far, Revelation 13 has clearly said to you, a one world government and a one world religion. Is it possible? I'm sorry, everybody, but it's inevitable. It is so clear that's where we're going. Even you are beginning to think so. We've been saying this to people since I can remember reading my Bible, way back in 73. Are we headed for a one world government? That's what everybody wants. Can't we just all get along? Are we headed for a one world religion? That's what everyone wants. The Pope gathers together with the Dalai Lama. What a stupid name. Excuse me. You can take that off the radio. You can't take it off the video, huh? Chuck's going to get me on that. Oh, boy. Let's go all the way with it. You know, I like to sing, Hell's Home, Dolly. Well, hell's home. That's good. That's just me. I wouldn't ask you to do that. I'm just opinionated. And when the Pope comes along and holds hands with Dolly, says we're praying to the same God, and then the Dalai Lama turns around and slams Christians, they have the nerve to share their faith. He says, we Hindus and we Buddhists, we don't try to convert people. We just leave them the way they are. Yeah, and look at you. Miserable, starving, filthy, ignorant. But when Jesus comes into your life, he lifts people above that. They get wisdom beyond their years. He's the one that said, wash your hands after you eat and wash them before. Jews were pretty healthy. Everybody else was still getting sick. Nobody could figure out why. He's the one that said, don't eat shellfish. You go back to the Old Testament, you'll find a lot about nutrition that doctors are just learning. I don't eat shellfish. I'm saved, dude. You do? That's by grace. Yeah. All that dwell in the earth shall worship him. Those that their names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Do you hear that, everybody? Do you know Jesus Christ? It was planned that he would die before the world was created. He was slain before the foundation of the world. God is so patient with us. He created Adam. He knew it was no good for Adam to be alone. What I like about the story, and this is the truth, go back and read it. He brings him animals first. Didn't he? So man, it's his fault. God brought him all the animals that Adam named them. And couldn't find one that worked out for him. You remember that? You think I'm making up? Go back and read the early chapters in Genesis. Couldn't find one. So God knocks him out and takes from his side and creates woman. And so then Adam says, this one's perfect. This will work. Guys, you talk to her when you get there. Because it was he's the one that said that. This is the one. This will work. Now, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. I'll call her woman. Woman, woe man, from man. And so, he says, all that dwell in the earth are going to worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. He knew Adam would meet Eve. He knew Eve would be deceived by the devil, and he knew Adam would follow his wife, which was a mistake. That was wrong for him to do, and it cost him. Still wrong today, I think, in many cases, and it's going to cost you guys. And it's because they fell before they were created. Jesus Christ would be crucified for the sins of the world, and that was, there were no sins that had even been committed. There was no such thing. See, God is good. He is so patient with us. Don't you understand? He knew everything you were going to do. He knew everything you were going to say. He didn't make you do it. He didn't make you say it. But he knew it all and still let you be born anyway. He still let you be born and still let you do it and say it. And said, I knew you were going to do it. I knew you were going to say it. I paid for it anyway. Do you want to come home? And you could look at him right in the face and say, no thanks, I'll work it out myself. Or you can say, yes, I want to come home. Isn't that amazing? That's how loving he is. So that when you get to hell, you'll never be able to yell, you never gave me a fair chance. You know, by the way, guys, Satan wanted to be worshipped. Remember that? We saw that earlier in the chapter. That's what he wanted. For all eternity, that's what he's wanted, to be worshipped. Do you realize that God is giving him his hour in the sun, in the bright lights? Do you realize that when Satan is thrown in hell, he will never be able to say, you never gave me a full chance? Because God will be able to say, you ran things. You were in charge. And it didn't work. Notice Jesus Christ did the job. You're going to notice that the job that Jesus did is going to take Satan and two men to try and cover the same thing. We'll talk about another guy in a moment here. But let's move on. all that dwell in the earth. Let's see. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names, verse 8, are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Then here's the call to the individual. He, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Got that? Now everybody gets to make a decision on everything they've read in chapter 13 so far. If anyone has an ear to hear, let them listen closely to all that you've learned. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What does that mean? Well, let's just say it in the old cliche. What you're reading here in verse 10 is simply this. What goes around comes back around. It's Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So those of you that are Christians, is what he's saying is, stand fast in the faith and trust me. Don't panic. Get out. Try to do your own thing. Go your own way. Hang on. Now, during to you and me, we go, cool. But can you imagine waking up, not being, having been raptured, being left here, and the great tribulation begins? Can you imagine the endurance and the faith and the patience you're going to need? Because you know, I mean, if you get left here, if I get left here, we know what's coming. It's not like we're going, oh, wow, where did everybody go? We know where they went. Can you imagine getting raptured right now and me and you, the only two left standing here, all everybody else's coats and things, and we're in this room empty? We know where they went. There's no question. And we also know what's coming and basically what order it's coming in. Wouldn't that be an interesting thought? Oh, boy. Take me. I beheld in another beast. Here's the second dude. Another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Two horns like a lamb, and spoke as a dragon. What is that all about? Well, another beast, and it's literally another wild beast. This is the religious side of things. So you're going to see him look like a lamb, speak like a dragon. This is the religious side of things. This man will be religious, a religious leader. And he will be under the authority and power of Antichrist and of Satan. But he'll be like a partner. Antichrist is more of a political figure, although he's going to be the one worshipped and followed. And this second beast, the second wild beast, is going to be the religious side of it all. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and then that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So there, if you'd like again, go ahead and write down next to that one too. There's your one world religion again mentioned to you. You got this religious leader now telling everybody, worship this guy. Look at him. He's great. This guy's cool. In chapters 19 and 20, this very man here that we're talking about in verses 11 and 12, he is called in chapters 19 to 20, he is referred to as the false prophet. See, he's the religious side of it all. There will be a one world religion, and some guy is going to be running it. Who runs ours? Does anybody know? Jesus Christ. That's right. That's who we follow. That's who we listen to. We don't have, like some of the other churches do on this earth, we don't have a man that's on this earth living who is infallible. We don't have one. Now, the Roman Catholics and the Mormons, they fight constantly. They condemn each other because the Roman Catholics say the Pope is infallible, and the Mormons say that's foolish. And then the Mormons say that their living prophet is infallible. So they're butting heads. I'm sorry, you guys. We don't have any men or women that I know that are infallible. We have Jesus Christ. That's who we listen to. That's who we follow. We respect many of the men and women who are leaders in the church, but Jesus Christ is the one we look to and listen to, right? Okay. So he says this. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So he's going to bring fire out of the sky. He's going to do some miracles, a show. He's going to look like a lamb, speak like a dragon. That's what you and I call, Jesus said it, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's going to look religious and look like a holy man, but he's going to speak like a dragon. It's going to be real trouble for the world. And they're going to think this is some religious guy doing great. He's going to talk amazing, talk, do great wonders. So he makes fire come down from heaven. He's going to speak to the people. And I can imagine this guy, he's going to be smooth. He's not going to be, you're not going to be able to tell that he's a false prophet unless you know really well God's word. You're not going to be able to tell. People are going to think, you, if you said that guy's a false prophet, they're going to look at you and probably cast you into outer darkness. How, he's the nicest guy, man. Everybody loves him. I'm a little leery of somebody that everybody likes, aren't you? Maybe I was just brought up to be weird. When everybody says they're perfect in every way, I always think, all right, what's up? It's the smartest man in the world. Okay, all right, what's up? Something's wrong. He's going to be talking about how he loves everybody, how everyone deserves to be taken care of. We want to take care of those lost, hurting sheep is what we want. Everybody deserves to be encouraged and helped. And we'll bring the whole world together and you think, okay, false prophet. And he does great wonders. You know, Napoleon, all he wanted to do, really, he just wanted to get the world together, make it a better place. That's really what he wanted. Hitler, too. All he wanted was basically to come up with a good, solid kind of individual, man or woman. Blonde hair, blue eyes, really intelligent, and that'll make the world a better place. That's what we're going to do, you know. Mussolini, right in there. Jim Jones. All he wanted was to help those people. You remember that. Just to show them how kind and loving God was. That's all he wanted. Remember Jim Jones? And then they drank that pretty sweetened Kool-Aid. And David Koresh, you saw how he just wanted those people to know that he's taking care of them and nobody else will, you know. And of course, I suppose the list goes on and on and on. I'm sure we got plenty today. With all the power of the first beast, he leads the world to worship the beast. And he does great wonders. That means big, miraculous, spectacular stuff. And if there's one thing we are into in the 21st century, it's special effects. Oh, man, how'd you do that? Oh, wow, and we're into that. I mean, explosions and pyrotechnics, you know, listen, man, the 4th of July, we got to see fireworks. We'll kill to see fireworks. I mean, you see it all the time when people try to get out after the fireworks. You know, that we're just into that, you know, show. If it's a big show, that's what we want. And so the false prophet knows that. Satan knows that. He'll give you a show. And today I hear Christians, they just want the show. You know, show us something. Do something really big. I used to say that when I was a kid. You know, you're 4 or 5 years old and some guy would come and do magic tricks. You go, do another one. Oh, go, do that again. Do more. You know, but when I was a child, I thought that way. Now, I became a man, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, I put that kind of stuff away. Now, somebody does a magic trick, I go, what's he doing with his other hand? Wait, what is she doing? Okay, hold it. I don't believe in magic trick. What are you? You're a cheater. Why do you have to? I think a little differently now. And I've learned when everybody wants you to watch their right hand, they're going to hit you with their left. My dad used to always have it. So I learned somebody starts swinging their right hand. You know, when the media starts wanting to point you all to a wrecked up Japanese ship, look over there if you like, but start looking around. See what else is going on. Pay attention. You'll be amazed at what you see. You get killed if you're boxing and a guy can get you to do, you know. He deceives them, the Bible says, that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles. See, the show, the sparkles, the flash, the glitter is going to trick people into following. Which had power to do in the sight of the beast. He had power to do in the sight of the beast. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound that by a sword, and it was then he did live. So he wants them to make an image. Well, he had power to give life to the image. I don't understand that. I do not understand that. I know Satan can't give life, so I don't understand this. But somehow he's going to give life to this image of the beast. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Somehow he's going to build this image of the beast. You're going to read in the prophet Daniel, you're going to see that image will be set up in the Holy of Holies, in the temple area there. somewhere, something to do with the temple in Jerusalem. And he's going to, the literal language says, to give life means literally breath. He's going to give breath to the image. It's going to breathe. Have life somehow. I don't understand. And it will speak. The image is going to talk. Now, throughout Scripture, you go through Isaiah. Remember the verses we saw in Isaiah? And in God says this. He says, idols, they're dumb. They can't speak. The idols, they're blind. They can't see. You carve them with your hands, but they can't speak. They can't hear. They can't see. They don't have hands. They can't move around. They're useless. Yet this guy, they make this image, and somehow it moves around. Well, people have explained it to me. It's going to be holograms. It's going to be lasers. I don't know anything except that's what the Bible says. And I'm not going to be here to see. And God will show us when it's time. Scientists will say for sure that that's a miracle. Even scientists will say for sure it's a miracle. Now, because of that, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free or slaves, to receive a mark. That word literally means to prick with a needle or scratch. There's an interesting, if you're going for the little chip implant thing, if you're one of those freaks, but to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and servitude, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Where were those people sealed? Where are the people of God sealed, the Bible say? In their foreheads. Even though you can't see a big C in the spiritual world, you're walking around with a big C that says Christian. Or you got God's brand on you somehow. Right? So Satan's going to copy, right hand or foreheads. That no man might buy or sell except he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, now if you're underlining there, right out to the side there, a one world economy. Because you won't be able to buy or sell without being marked with that mark of the beast. And here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So he says, here's wisdom, kind of like a little riddle. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. See, the beast is a man. It's not a machine. It's not a political power. This is a man that's going to be Satan possessed. And the number is 666, or 666, or 666. Now, usually, at this point, everybody wants to know who the Antichrist is. So using the numerical equivalents in the Hebrew and the Greek alphabet, and also using Roman numerals, you can make it anybody you want. And I have a list of some. The people have worked. I didn't work these out. I don't have that kind of time. I'm a lazy bum. But somebody's worked it out. So here, almost every one of the Caesars has been named as the Antichrist. The numbers equal. Napoleon has been named as the Antichrist. The numbers match up. Mussolini, remember, dictator over Italy for a while. Hitler. Works out. John Kennedy, some people right now today believe he's still on the island of Scorpios in a wheelchair. He had a head that was wounded, and you can imagine the stir that would cause if you brought him back. John Kennedy. Mikhail Gorbachev, he's got South America on his forehead. But that had nothing to do with it. I mean, the numbers add up. Please don't get me wrong. I think really that's Nicaragua. You can check with him. Ronald Reagan. Here. And you can see his life in pictures at 90. Bill Clinton. Works out that way. I knew that. Monica Lewinsky. No, I was just joking there. She doesn't add up to much. Prince Ferdinand, if you want to go over there to Spain. Many people believe he's the one. Jimmy Hoffa, there's an interesting one. Wait, it gets better. Elvis. Just the one word. If you do Presley, it comes out to 312. No. Saddam Hussein. Muammar, or however you say that guy's name, Gaddafi. Elvis is one of them on the list. And I don't think the list is finished yet. I think there are still scholars out there. See? They have too much time. Adding up numbers, trying to decide who the Antichrist is. And I'm telling you right now, the truth is, more Christians today are looking for the Antichrist than they are looking for Jesus. They are looking, wanting to know who he is, wanting to know his name, wanting to know where he lives. And instead, they should be looking for Jesus. It is grace. It is the grace of God that you're allowed to hear his word, that I'm allowed to hear, that we have it. I've talked to many friends throughout this week. All of them have backslidden. They're in trouble. I talked to one just yesterday, broken, in tears, just crying. And I know all these things, and look at my life, and I just said, you know, it is grace. Come home. It's grace. It's not how well you're doing. It's not whether you're going to church or not going to church. It's not whether you've forgotten where you've placed your Bible because you haven't read it in 3 years. It is grace. And the door is still open for you to come on back to the Father's house. Because see, in the Father's house, it's better there. Even the angels eat better there than we're eating. In the Father's house, it's better. There's peace. There's safety there. Come on back home. These things are going to happen. There will be a one world government. There will be a one world religion. There will be a one world economy. Basically, most of it is in place right now. The only thing stopping a one world religion is the Christian church. And it'll be gone soon. There will be nothing to hold it back then. Evil will. And you're going to see Mystery Babylon, the great horror. We'll talk about that in upcoming chapters. But warn the world. This is not peace and safety and really happy times coming. It's trouble, suffering like the world has never seen. But you don't have to be here for that. I am convinced of it. It's always up to you. You can come home just coming to Jesus Christ.